to try to hopefully get some of these segments on the website.
Okay.
And then if that's the case, then I won't have to have a makeup class. All you would have to do is watch what you missed.
Okay.
Because we have a total of, did I say two or three in the beginning? Two, how many absences?
Two.
Two absences. Go back, and then if you make it up, then write a quick paper of
okay.
what you... You've been here every week, all right?
Yeah, every day.
Quick paper. That's three paragraphs. Most sound, nothing, don't pick any, dissect anything. Just say, this is what I got out of it.
Okay.
And then, why that's important is because the next class that I'm teaching, how to understand God's word, this is a prerequisite to it.
Okay.
So you cannot take how to understand God's word without basics of Christian growth.
Okay.
So that's why I'm just stressing to have the certificate of completion. But I will be offering basics next year as well in the spring. So because people are going to start understanding that, okay. But basics is important. I've got to know that people need to know why they believe what they believe. Because the other classes are just going to go over your head if we don't have this foundational class. So I'm thankful that you guys have stuck it out. I know it's repeat for a lot of people, but I think we're all edifying one another. So next week we will not be meeting. No meeting on the 20th of November, okay? We will resume with the fifth week of study on November 27th. All right? So we're going to pray in, and then we had some homework, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who could tell me the homework?
And
there was another one.
John 17.
Right. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Most gracious and everlasting Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for bringing us in here this evening, Lord. Thank you for your care, God, of us and of our families, Lord God, and just watching over us. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and this has been true all the days of our lives, Lord. So we want to thank you for your faithfulness, Father God, even though when we're not faithful, you remain faithful. To us, God. And we just ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to just permeate our minds and our hearts this evening, Father, and into our spirits. Allow your holy word and your commandments and your truths and your promises be embedded on the tablets of our hearts, Lord God, so that we may not sin against you, but also, Father God, share it with someone else. Continue to grow us, Lord. Let us be seasoned saints, Father God. Let us be workmen that are not ashamed of the gospel, Father God. Let us know that we know that we know that your word is all that we need to have in our lives, Father God, so that there will never be an opportunity where we're deceived from the devil. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and we give you the praise and all the glory for everything that's going to come out of this class this evening in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so who wants to kind of give me a synopsis of Revelation 2? Revelation 2. And we were talking about repentance, right? So Revelation 2 and 3 is specifically for the church. It's not talking about anyone outside of the church. So it tells us that we always have to be in a state of repentance. The church needs to be in a state of repentance, okay? Not that you're constantly beating yourself over the head because you don't think that you keep missing the mark, but because we have to continually understand that to be in God's presence, we need to be completely holy and righteous, amen? And in order to do that, we have to be able to present ourselves righteous and holy. God says, be holy, for I am holy, amen? So in order to do that, we have to acknowledge the fact that we can't do that without the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness for your name's sake, Father. We confess our sins. So who wants to give a recap of Revelation 2? Going once.
Well, most of the churches had to repent of something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it had like a rhythm going. You're to be applauded for the work you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
However, this thing I have against you.
Mm-hmm.
And one church, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which
mm-hmm.
is which. I remember Ephesus and Laodicea was lukewarm, and Philadelphia was very faithful. But there was Ephesus, Smyrna,
Pergamon,
and one, One church ate the food sacrificed mm-hmm. to idols, and one church heeded the false prophetess. Was, and not a question about that. Mm-hmm. Was there literally a prophet named Jezebel, or was that?
Jezebel was the wife of
Ahab. I'm thinking of Old Testament. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Okay.
The same Jezebel.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And one said, you forgot me as your first love.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all doing the work, but they all needed to. Most of the churches needed to repent.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. And he's talking to us, mm-hmm. okay? God wants us to make sure that we understand, because even in Revelation 3, 19, and 20 is a lot of times, we hear that a lot when we're bringing people into the church at, like, the end of a sermon or whatever. He knocks at the door, right? And mm-hmm. if I not, let me in, right? And I will sup with you, it says. Mm-hmm. And if 2 and 3 is talking about the church, then it's saying that Jesus is knocking on the door of his own church.
Wow.
That's profound.
Yeah. Yes.
It's his church, and he's knocking at the door to come in. Okay? So he knows our state. He knows that we are but dust, and there's an opportunity for all of us to be able to always be in his presence. But there's conditions behind that, and through that's through the confession and the repentance that we have. Repentance means to completely turn around, right? Forsaking it, leaving it alone. Okay, and I know that some of us, and I know I can speak for myself, we struggle with some things, right? But there comes a time when you got to say, okay, I'm too old for this. I know better, right? You know better. We know better. So you're right. Thank you very much for that synopsis of Revelation 2. And God wants us to always remember, okay, that he chooses the place in which we're going to be in. So it talks about some people being imprisoned, right? Mm-hmm. It talks about some Christians just not being able to be in a state that would be optimal for them. And we have to understand that it's never always roses for us, right? There's always something. And as soon as one thing is finished, right, here comes something else, right? And God gives us a breather for a little bit, but there's always something going on. But some of us are going to be in prison. Some of us are going to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. But that we should not be afraid of that. We should be saying that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? He's always with us, and he knows where every single one of his believers are. So John 17. John 17. Who wants to give us a recap of John 17? Did we read it?
That's a beautiful chapter. Yeah.
That's the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
He prays for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He prays for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he prays that everyone partakes of a relationship with the Father just like he does.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that we would be covered. Right? Anyone else want to add to that? What did you get out of John 17?
I guess the love. Everything just spoke of his love.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking his Father to glorify him so that his Father in turn could be glorified. So the love that he had his Father, the obedience,
mm-hmm.
the love that he had for us. And he says, I'm covering all of them. And he says, all of them I want to bring to salvation except one. And he references Judas,
mm-hmm.
and only because he was already doomed.
Mm-hmm.
And just that's what came out to me, just the love he had
mm-hmm.
for his Father and the love mm-hmm. that he has for us.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about love. For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
And he didn't lose one.
Yeah.
That's
right.
He didn't lose any.
No. And he's not
except
going
for the
to.
One that was already.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was powerful.
Absolutely. And it's important, like I said last week, that we can hate everything that God hates and be fervent about that. But if we don't love what God loves, it means nothing.
Mm.
Just as much as you hate what God hates, You have to love what he loves.
That's true.
You have to love what he loves, and he loves people. And we have to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the more you get this in, the easier it is. The easier it is. Because there's just specific books that just don't give you a choice. That just tells you if you don't walk in love, not that we're doomed, but the love of the Father is just not going to be in our lives that we the way that we want them. He said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. It's not because if we're not living an abundant life, it's not because we haven't done something. The Word of God is true. It's not because the Word is not true. It's because of we haven't done something. We have to be self-reflective of that. And a lot of our behavior is contingent. A lot of that abundant life is contingent upon some of the behavior that we take. And that behavior usually happens because we don't know what we should be doing. Okay? So 1st and 2nd Peter have been working on me, and I think that that will be a good book for you guys to read next week. We're talking three pages, three chapters, okay? So this is bathroom time, right? This is time that you can sit down and just read, and you could just brag to your family. I read a book of the Bible today, right? 1st and 2nd Peter, yeah. So let's get into, I am on, everybody where we left off? We left off with 139. And so I am on, I don't have the pages numbered, I'm sorry. I'll do
better. So 1st and 2nd Peter, we do 127.
Yeah. God has been waiting for you. And he wants you to experience the fullness of his love. Okay, so who's ready to start? Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Thank you. Wait, do we know where we are?
God love us.
I want to make sure everybody's there. Where we left off on Psalm 139.
Okay, are we reading that now?
Ephesians 7.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
For this cause,
if I guess.
Ephesians 3, 14 and 19.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, mm-hmm. that Christ may dwell into your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen. Okay. So he wants you to experience the fullness of his love. And you know what's good is like when we talk about, and I've always bragged on Deacon Phillips, but he prays, like he was praying out of Colossians on Sunday. I don't know if anyone knew that, but I was like, go ahead, Deke. So we are at 14, right? Okay, so is anybody have the New American Standard?
Yes.
Okay, so let me show you how we pray the Word of God. Because when you pray the Word of God, guess what? He hears it, right? Because it's what?
His word.
And what happens when he hears his word?
He performs it.
He's got to perform it, right? Mm-hmm. He can't deny himself. So, for this reason, Father, I bow my knees before you, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that you would grant me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit, Father God, in my inner man, so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, and that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled, Father God, filled up to all the fullness of you, God.
What did they just read? I'm sorry.
New American Standard, but
I'm praying
to God and I'm personalizing it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Don't pray your own words.
Mm-hmm.
Pray his words.
Yeah.
Okay. Give it back. because he watches over his words. And when he sends it forth, it's got to accomplish what he sends it forth to do.
Yes.
Isaiah says that.
Yes.
He says he puts forth his word and it's got to, it doesn't return to him void. So when you open up God's scripture, personalize it.
Yes.
That's why you've got to get a text. You have got to get a translation that you know what you and thou and thee and he and him is talking about. New American Standard will always capitalize deity. So you have no, you'll never be confused when we're talking about him or he, whether or not it's God. Okay? So you see here, 12, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access through faith in him. You see how that's happening? I know that we're talking about God. No other translation will do that. Most of them don't. New, definitely not King James. Okay? So when we're talking about knowing the fullness of God's love, it's knowing his word. And when you get caught up in specific situations, when you know his word, you know what to turn to pray it back to him. I want to know more. I want to feel more love. I want to love your people more, God. So then I'm going to go into the scriptures that talk about loving God's people, and I'm going to pray his word back to him, just like I did. Okay? Any questions? All right, so God does not look at us to express criticism. He wants us to experience his love. John 3, 16 and 17. Sister Loretta?
King James Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. He doesn't look at us to express criticism. It is not what you do that makes God love you. He loves you right now without holding anything back. It has nothing to do with works. It has nothing to do of whether or not you're good, you're bad, you're indifferent. Can you read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9?
For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast.
Amen. Amen. Romans 8:32.
He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Okay, amen. And Titus 3:5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, amen. It's not what we do, it's what he does for us. Okay, so power and authority of a true believer. Think about a police officer, right? They come in all shapes and sizes, but think about a female police officer, 5'2", 107 pounds, right? You can be my police officer today. So, they're standing directing traffic, right? Everybody abides by this person, right? Is it because they have any power? No. Why are they listening to the police officer directing traffic? Because of the authority of what? The position that she holds. That's how we are. We have no power, okay? But we have authority. We have authority over every single thing the devil tries to throw at us. And we have authority over him. All the powers of hell cannot stop the church. God's true children. Matthew 16, 18. Where did I leave off?
Okay.
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven.
Is that Matthew 16:18?
No. Okay. 16. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it.
Okay. Matthew 16:19, right? 16:18 and 16:19?
Yes.
Okay. So true believers have the power to bind those things that would stop the work of God. I'm sorry?
16:18,
not
19.
Let me move over there.
Okay. Yeah, I got these little bitty words, and I can't have C.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. You're fine. Okay. So God's true children. So he had given this commandment to people before he was crucified, before he resurrected, okay? So that shows you the positional power that we have. True believers can confirm to those who come to Christ in faith and repentance that their sins are forgiven. John 20:23, Deaconess Pugh.
John 20:23. Mm-hmm. New Living. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Okay. Repentance that their sins are forgiven. Jesus has given the true believers power over the enemy, but we must not concentrate on this power, but rather rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. Luke 10:19 and 20.
Amen. Luke 10:19 and 20, this is the NASB. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.
Okay. All of this power is being given before Pentecost. Okay? And everybody knows what Pentecost is? It's when the Holy Spirit came, right? Okay? Back in Acts. So we don't bind anything that has not already been bound already. Okay? So when God and the Holy Spirit puts it on our hearts to bind things on earth, it's already been bound in heaven. Okay? That's why you can't quench the Holy Spirit. You've got to be in tune where if you feel that the Lord is directing you to bind something on earth, it's already been bound in heaven. Number 5. We must remember that as we see the enemy at work in the world, we are never to fear his power. For we are now the temple of the living God, and that Christ in us is greater than our enemy who is in the world. 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?
Okay, amen. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If anything else, when it talks about treating our bodies, that'll make you snap into, okay, I'm going to walk the right path, or I'm not going to do certain things, or I'm not going to eat certain things, or I'm not going to drink certain things, or I'm going to make sure that I take care of this body because it's the temple. Because we can run rampant, and it's all about what? Discipline, right? Everything in what? Moderation. 1 John 4:4.
1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than in he that is in the world.
We have God in us to overcome, okay? We have the Holy Spirit of God that raises the dead. Okay? That's the power that resides inside of you.
Yeah, amen.
The evil one in the world cannot touch a true believer. 1 John 5:18. Since you're still there? You're still there in 1 John? Thank you.
5:19.
18.
We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not.
Okay. The evil one in the world cannot touch a true believer. He can confuse you. He can distract you. He can appear that he's oppressing you. But you can't listen to his voice. Okay? Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Or, and he can deceive you. But that's what happened with Eve, right? He deceived her because what? She didn't what? Know the word. She didn't know the word for herself. That's why we're getting in the word. We've got to get in the word. That's what's going to keep you. That's what's going to hold you. That's what's going to make the devil turn around. Yes.
That goes back to, that's why it's so important for you to know it for yourself.
Right.
God had given it to Adam, but he had not given it to her at that time. Or at least the way that it should have been.
We must never forget that the devil is a tempter and the accuser of God's people. Revelation 12:10, right up front. Revelation 12:10, the accuser of the brethren.
Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come to the salvation of and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren and sisters who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down.
Okay. The accuser of the brethren who accused day and night before God. Okay. That's all Satan does. He accuses us. Well, look what she just did. Well, she just lied to her. And she just made that one feel bad. And he just cursed out the guy who ran him off the road. That's all Satan does all day long, is accuse the brethren. But God does not look at that. He looks at what? When he sees us, what does he see?
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. He's seeing Jesus Christ. Remember that picture? He's seeing the righteousness of Christ who covers us.
So he goes to God accusing us? Because I know he should be working on this, you know, with me.
And in the body. When you see people pointing fingers and accusing one another and they just don't let up, you need to pray. Because that's not the spirit of God that's operating inside of them right now. Okay? There's only one accuser of the brethren, and it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. As the devil is a liar and the truth is not in him. John 8:44. Up front.
You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and his father of lies, and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the word of God. For these reasons, you do not hear them because you are not of God. The Jews answered and said to him, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do seek my glory. There is one who seeks the judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone speaks my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, "Now, we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if one keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Surely he is not the greater that our father Abraham, who died, the prophet died too, whom do you make yourself out to be?"
That's good. That's good. Thank you. So, we're good. No, it's important. We're good. So he never has any truth in him. He's been a liar from the beginning. Revelation 21:8. Someone, quickly. Revelation 21:8.
Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderous and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second heaven.
All what?
Liars.
All liars. Okay? No matter how hard it is to tell the truth, tell the truth. No matter how wrong you may have been and you need to cover whatever up, tell the truth, because God hates all liars. Okay? Why? Because lying is of who?
The devil.
Okay. And he's been a liar since the beginning. He lied in the garden. He always lies, and he will never stop lying. Okay? Never stop lying. So, if that's a little proclivity that you have of telling little white lies or twisting the truth, get out of it. Have the Holy Spirit give you the power and the strength to be able to refrain from twisting the truth. Okay? Because God hates all liars. And in Revelation 21, it says that all liars are going where, Sister Ophelia? In the pit. Okay.
So that's not, I got a question.
Yeah.
Which I'm lying, saying that I do this. But that's still all under grace?
People who make it a practice.
Okay.
Okay, now you know.
Okay.
Now we know. Okay. People who make it just they lie so much they think it's the truth. You know people right. like that?
Yeah.
They lie and they think it's the truth.
Yeah.
And just twisting stuff. It's of the devil. It's not of God.
Just a little white lie.
Yeah, that's it. Just a little white lie. Okay.
A little
leaven,
the whole
world.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes. When you're talking about lying and stuff, in my job, it was an individual that did that, you know, to myself. But I put in an email to my supervisor, you know, God is going to give us favor. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, eventually he'll give us favor. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, that next day I found out that individual was moved out to the department.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just saying, I just didn't know that. I don't think it's going down or down, but I'm telling you, like, when you say a person just, like, oh my God.
Uh-huh. Yes. People don't understand, yes.
Okay, I have a question. The abominable and the sexually immoral.
Mm-hmm. Immoral?
Is that dealing with homosexuality?
No, it's just people who are lewd and lascivious, just and. Promiscuous and sexually immoral. You know, there's a way that you need to carry yourself when you get, always, but especially when you're at a certain age. No fornication, and you live in that lifestyle.
And your dress should be long enough to cover your bottom when you sit. Would that be a part of it too?
Say what?
I'm not going down this road.
I don't know, because what's the difference between the dress covering the bottom or the one down to the ankles and they're doing the same thing?
Yeah, all right.
Thank you. Sexually immoral means that you're just constantly... Sex is a way of life. You can't live with it. You sleep. You think about it all the time. You dream about it. You do things to make yourself provocative, whether it's a man or a woman. People who are engulfed in pornography or just different things. It just eats at them.
So what's the spirit of lust?
Abominable? Let's look it up. Somebody look it up, unless you want to. I want her to hear the definition of abominable.
Okay, so that's not talking about you just sleeping with somebody.
That's sexual immorality. Yeah, if you're not in the covenant of marriage, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he or she is, and you're not in that covenant with them. Yeah. It's just anything outside of marriage that God puts in the Bible.
Even for
abominable.
Yes. Thank you.
Foreign moral revulsion. The uprising was suppressed with abominable cruelty. Very bad or unpleasant. Would be even, this says in a cup of abominable tea, distasteful.
Okay. It's just completely wicked, completely revolting, repulsive, yeah. Abominable. Yes,
disgusting.
Yeah.
Regurgitation
okay.
is abominable, if you will.
All right, as the devil tempted Jesus to sin, so he will tempt us. As soon as Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, he went out into the wilderness, okay? And here we go. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Who's there? Here, Sister Carla. This is as soon as he was baptized, he went out into the wilderness. And the heavens opened up and God said, this is my beloved son, right? What do you say?
In him I will.
Okay.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after
so he was led to
by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. Okay? So God was ordaining this for him to go through a measure of temptation. Go ahead.
And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.
Wait a second. So what happened the chapter before with John the Baptist? What did the heavens opened up and God said what?
This is my son,
that he was the Son of God. So now if you are the Son of God, okay? He's a liar, okay? Because God just said he's the Son of God. So now we're not talking about deity. He's talking about his flesh. Because God does not need to eat anything. Right. But this is the human side of Christ that we're talking about. Because he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. Anyone would be hungry. Yes, go ahead.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone.
It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy 4, 6. Help me out. My two concordances back here. Find it for me, please.
Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Okay, so did Jesus say, no, I am the Son of God. God just said it, and da-da-da. Did he fight with him?
He
gave him the word. When he comes in your face and tempts you, you don't sit there and debate with the devil. You give him God's word.
Yeah.
Second temptation.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up.
So he's telling him, it says that Satan is the prince of the air, right? That's one of his names, the prince of the air. If you are who you say you are, throw yourself down, because God says in Psalm 91 that he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their ways. So now we hear Satan quoting scripture. So he knows scripture. Go ahead.
Jesus said to him, On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
Gave him temptation number two, still didn't debate, gave him the word. Go ahead.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. So, when he tempts us, we don't get on the floor and start crying and fall up and crawl in a ball in the corner. We give him God's word. You have got to arm yourself with God's word. And just like I had read it, just speak it out. So, 1 Corinthians 10:13, up here. Shanikia?
Yes, ma'am.
We can be assured that with every temptation, there is an escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able.
Okay.
But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it.
Amen. God doesn't tempt people. He provides the escape. Okay? Be on guard for the temptations of the enemy and put away the lust or love of the things that will hinder your walk with God. We all know what that trap is for us. We know what will trip us up. Satan knows what will trip you up.
We
know.
He does.
You know. I know.
I know. I know
without a doubt. I know. I know. And I'm old enough to say no. Okay? Who's there? 1 Peter 5, 8, 9.
I am.
5, 8, 9.
Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world.
Okay. James 1, 12 and 16. Thank you.
King James Version.
Thank you.
Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Mm. Do not err, my beloved brethren.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay. So it starts where?
With us.
In the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets conceived, right? And then what happens? It's manifested. Okay? Remember, you are now the temple of the living God. We read that already. 1 Corinthians 6:19. And you have been fully delivered from the power of darkness by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13 and 14.
Has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Okay. He's delivered us from darkness. So there's a certain way in which we should what? Conduct ourselves. A certain way in which we should walk. A certain way in which we should talk.
Right.
A certain way in which we should interact with the brethren and interact with people who are not the brethren. We have to hold ourselves accountable to what we do in and out every day. Okay? Just because people aren't watching you, you have a specific type of position or a specific type of power, whether in the family or outside of the family or within your household, outside of your household, at your job, in the church, you have got to conduct yourselves as if the Holy Spirit of God is residing inside of you. You are the temple. Be ye holy. For I am holy, God says. Yeah, we're going to trip up. But we should have some things falling off of us. during this walk. God is bringing, do you feel it? God is bringing you all up to a higher standard. To a higher standard, because he's got to make you, he's got to put you in a specific place where you can put to shame the slandering of what the enemy's going to say because of your chaste and your just behavior. He's raising you up, and he's making you sure that you hold fast the truths and the ordinance of God. Okay? Sister Denise, I want you to read 2 Timothy 2:22. Put away youthful lusts. Put away youthful lusts.
What does that really mean?
There's some things in our youth that we like to do, right? Right? Some people act like they never went, but at this point, you get a little older. Some things you need to stop doing certain things.
Like cussing folks out.
Or being a kid. You know, some kids just, you know, child and teenage behavior. Youthful lusts. Sister Denise.
Flee the evil, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Okay. Put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:10-17.
James King Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Okay. So, put on the full armor. So, armor means you're going to go what?
Battle.
Go to battle. So, you get on the battlefield. Do you take your helmet off?
No.
Okay. We are to put it on, and in the Greek, this put on means to keep it on. Never take it off. It's not like, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to dress myself in the armor of God today. No, that's not how it works.
It stays on.
It stays on. Every portion of it, okay? Every portion of it. And if you look at the Roman soldier, what Paul was talking about, that helmet, it had, you ever see them? It had those...
Mm-hmm.
What are those linkages in the back that covered what?
The neck.
The neck, okay? Your whole, everything, because you know what? A lot of your attacks are going to be coming from the rear. You're not even going to see it coming, okay? Put on the whole armor of God and don't take it off because you are in a battlefield. We read that the devil goes about seeking to destroy, right? As a roaring lion, just nonstop. He doesn't stop, so you shouldn't stop. Does that mean we walk around in fear? No. But when you know God's word, you equip yourself, okay? You have got to have the sword of what?
The word,
and the shield of faith that's going to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, okay? Whatever he's throwing at you, that shield of faith, because I have faith, I walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Everything that comes at me, my shield, is no matter what it looks like. No matter what the report looks like. No matter what the doctor says. No matter how crazy the kids are getting. I put my shield of faith, and all the fiery darts of the wicked one are absorbed by the shield of faith.
Oh, glory.
Submit to God's directions in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, okay? God doesn't care how much you give. He doesn't care how much you do. He wants you to obey him. Obey him and forget and forsake all else. Submit to God's directions in obedience and then resist the temptations of the devil, and the devil will flee from you. James 4:7. Thank
submit
you.
Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen. Resist him and he will flee. It's that easy, folks. Okay? It's that easy. When you start dipping and dabbing and you start wavering, guess what? he's got you. Because you considered it. When he knows that you even considered it and entertained the thought, he's already got you. He puts his right, his hook in you. And he pulls you in, right? Because it's those youthful lusts of the flesh that we haven't let burn off of us yet. It's that dross. And that dross only gets burnt off through trials and tribulations. Okay? Some things, when you start going through things that you don't think that you're ever going to get through, God is burning off that youthful lusts. He's burning off that stuff that keeps hindering you because he wants to bring you higher. And the only way to bring you higher is for him to put you in the furnace. And certain stuff starts burning off. Because you go, that has you so consumed that you forget about that other stupidity that you keep getting tripped up in. So then the next time that you start walking, when you come out of that furnace, you're walking like you're so much more erect. You're so much more focused. And some things just don't hinder you anymore. You won't let it. Because you move past that. Okay?
I'm sorry. So that's what it means when the word, when it talks about dying to the flesh, that you're no longer living in that area because you died in it. It doesn't affect, certain things don't affect dead people.
Right. So. And there's only certain ways to kill things off.
Right.
And some of us, it takes a little harder than others. Okay? That's just, God knows what we need. And how to get rid of certain things.
I was just telling a young man, he was like, I'm in bond. Gee whiz, you're so old. I said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. I said, but I'm grown now. I've put away a lot of childish things.
Amen.
And I think if I keep saying that, it's gonna smooth out some rough edges on some of those young people.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you can need to be bold with you, and you can be bold with it because you know. You know that you know that you know. That's why, you know, sometimes people say, oh, you. I'm not cocky. I just know what I know what I know.
And I'm steadfast.
And you know who you are in Christ. I know my position.
I tell them, don't let the fork come for me.
That's right.
Because it's 7 feet.
All right,
now. Don't.
Deep.
Don't get it twisted. Every single body. And we're going to get into that with the gifts. God gives people specific gifts for his purpose and his glory. Okay? That's why you can't covet what other people have, because God has something specifically for you that nobody else can do but you. But you. And you should. We need to get to the point where you don't want anybody else's mantle. God, give me what you have for me.
Yeah.
Okay, the power and authority of the believer comes from his relationship to Jesus Christ. Our authority comes through Jesus Christ. We had authority in the garden. He gave it to Adam. He says, I give you dominion over every creeping thing, every flying thing, everything in the sea, in the air, and on the ground. I give you dominion. What happened? He gave that dominion over to Satan through his transgression. Jesus Christ gave it back to us. So we have dominion and power over everything that we need to have dominion and power over. Okay? Comes from our relationship through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. John 15:5. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing.
I am the vine. You are the branch. If you remain in me and I am in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Okay. You can do a whole lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of people busy in the church, but they're not in Christ. So God will say, get from me. I never knew you. But didn't I feed your people? Didn't I do this? He's going to say, get from me, because they're not in Christ. Just because you're busy doing a whole bunch of stuff in church, packing baskets, folding clothes, doing all this stuff that needs to get done.
But their heart is nowhere.
But your heart, you're not Christ. Because you guess what? The work of God is going to get done. And he's going to use whoever he needs to get it done. Whether it's a believer or a non-believer. That's why it says the tares come up with the wheat. And when the angel comes in, he will pull with the sickle. Whose is God's? The work is going to get done. So you can, that's why one is going to be sitting in the pew. One's going to be gone. And the other one, what? Is going to be left. Didn't I do A, B, and C in your name? What does he say? Get from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Jesus alone has all power and authority in his hands. Matthew 28, 18.
Okay. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Okay, all power is given unto him in heaven and earth. We can rest in the power of our Savior Jesus Christ, for there is no power that can pluck a true believer from the hand of God. John 10:29.
My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Okay, amen. Romans 8:31 through 39.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death for all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wow.
Okay, 5 minutes. Is that 2:39?
I don't know. I'm sorry. To be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Okay, nothing can pluck us out of God's hand. 5 minutes. 5 minute break.